My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
And we welcome you into another edition of our Warriors Weekly podcast. John Dickinson, Matt Steinmetz for 95.7 The Game. It's Steiny. When we last spoke, the Warriors were coming off a home win against Miami and headed out on the road looking for their first road victory of the season. And here we are three games later now as we record this on Wednesday morning, and the Warriors are still looking for their first road win of the season. Now 3-5 and losses to Charlotte, Detroit, and Miami last night. Just your general thoughts on the struggles that the Warriors are having defensively, but just figuring out a way to win a game, I think, more importantly.
Yeah, I think they got to start with their defense, obviously. It's been terrible, JD. It hasn't been average. It hasn't been below championship level. It's been pretty terrible. Even last night, what did Miami score? 116? That may as well be 125 when it's the Miami Heat. Here's what I think is going on. Right now, I think the core pieces aren't playing great and the young players aren't giving them enough. And that disparity, I think, is why they're 3-5 instead of 5-3 or 6-2. Steph Curry, to me, has been the one player who's been good. Wiggins has been okay in my book, not good. And then Clay, obviously, he's struggling. Poole looks like he's trying to figure out a new role for himself. The young players, Kuminga and Moody and Wiseman, they look like they're just trying to get their individual feet under them. Like, they're just out there trying to survive, let alone do things to help you win. So there's just some things that, depending on your perspective, JD, they're either signs of trouble or – they're just things that I'm not going to worry about, or we're not going to worry about until we're 40 games in, because it's the Warriors.
I think they're signs of trouble. And the reason they're signs of trouble is, and I always come back to this, and sometimes you agree or disagree with me. I'm kind of curious what you think on this one. When you're losing games because of, like, when it's actually costed you something in the standings, right, especially when you're essentially fully healthy. And the Warriors are fully healthy right now. This is the team. And they're 3-5, and they've had some winnable games maybe they've let slip. Like, if there was, you know, Steph Curry was out, or Draymond hadn't been playing, or something like that, and you had a 3-5 stretch, you know, you'd say, all right, well, you know the reason, and you're confident that things are going to turn around. I'm confident that things can turn around, but I think this start, as bad as it winds up getting, and maybe the Warriors win a couple and they kind of linger around 500 here moving forward. But I think in these first eight games, this has cost the Warriors enough to where they're going to have to work harder now moving forward to make up for the fact that they have gotten off to this poor start. It doesn't get easy. You can't just coast into your next winning streak. You got to play really, really well.
Let me ask you a question. What grade would you give Steph Curry first eight games of the year?
Probably a B plus. Probably
okay.
B plus, A minus.
And I'll tell you right now, in any other year in the last 6 years, if Steph Curry plays B plus A minus, because of Steph Curry, they're 5-3. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
he's played, they usually win games. Most of the games, if Steph Curry plays like he has the first eight. So that tells me we've got to look other places. And that's where I think this team is wanting. Who outside Steph can you say has played above average?
Nobody for the eight games. And you know what? Maybe Draymond. Sounds like you differ a little bit with me on Draymond. Like, I think Draymond's been good. I probably, looking at the numbers in front of me, I probably gave Steph a little short shrift. He's been an A. I mean, he even had a triple double last night. I mean, I think Steph's actually maybe been better than I've even gave him credit for. But I think Draymond's been the next best player, let's say, over the eight games. Maybe you disagree with that. Wiggins had about, I don't know, four games where he was really good. And then Klay Thompson has been so up and down. And it seems like, not to get off on the Klay Thompson tangent, but since he acknowledged that he wasn't where he wanted to be last week in Phoenix, it's gotten worse, seemingly, for Klay Thompson, which I didn't really think, and we talked about it on the last podcast, I didn't really think Klay was playing that poorly. It wasn't up to maybe his standard, but then he put a bullseye on it, and then he gets kicked out of the game in Phoenix, and he's not playing well last night down the stretch, and it feels like it's kind of snowballed on him, when if he had just let sleeping dogs lie, maybe he just, you know, there wouldn't have been so much focus on it, and it wouldn't be, that big of a deal. But it feels like the Klay Thompson thing is becoming almost a bigger problem or concern by the game, with every loss.
I think Klay Thompson's a bigger issue than their defense. To me, there's some explainables about their defense. And one is, they were playing in June. Their starters are champion players. They're not going to be at a championship level right now, nor can you expect them to be. They're trying to establish a level of play, but it's not good enough yet. So they got to get better defensively first. And I think they will, because that's the part that they have done before. It's Klay. It is Klay. And I think, listen, guys don't go from great to terrible overnight. It's a process. But I think it's fair to think that Klay Thompson, he's not going to be the player he was. He's still going to have very good games. They're going to come a lot less frequently. So that's okay if you have other guys, if you have Jordan Poole playing well, and the young guys playing well, but right now they're not. And so you're left with like a team full of guys, even veterans, trying to find their game. And like, you can't win like that over the long term. I mean, you can win games, but you can't win like that over the long haul. And Klay's playing to get himself right. Kuminga and Wiseman are just trying to play and do the right thing so Steve Kerr won't yank them. I mean,
Kuminga's just trying to get on the floor.
Yeah, exactly. So, here's the other thing, Jade. Nobody's saying these guys are washed up at all, but there is a difference between guys in their prime at their peak and not quite being at their prime at their peak. And I just don't think Klay is. I don't think he's going to be able to get back there. Like, I'm babbling here. Tell me what you think about this. Like, in order for this thing to continue, two things have to happen. One thing everybody knows, the young players have to be good. They have to get better. They have to, right? The four young players have to be good.
I think that's actually less important than the veteran players maintaining the level that they've been at the last couple of years, or closer to it, if that's where you were going with it.
Well, and here's kind of where I'm going, especially as it relates to Klay. In order to keep the thing going, you need another part of it too, and that's your core players being all in with the transition. And, you look at Tim Duncan. What does everybody say? Man, did he just transition from a superstar to a role player. Kawhi came up, and then Ginobili got a little older, and then he went to the bench for the sake of the team.
Sure.
You know, all those kind of things. Well, Clay, Draymond, and Steph, they got to be ready to do this. And I don't think Clay is right now, to be honest.
Well, I don't think Clay is, but I also don't think there's anybody ready to come up and take anybody's spot either. I mean, when Duncan took a step back or Ginobili took a step back, that was because Kawhi Leonard became the clear-cut best player on the team. Steph Curry is still the clear-cut best player on the team. And I don't think maybe we quibble about Jordan Poole when Jordan Poole's right, but Jordan Poole hasn't been right the first 2 weeks of the season compared to what we saw last year when he was playing well. So like right now it's like there, we talk about the young players and what they're going to be and the next wave and all of that. Well, none of these guys, Steiny, are ready to take anybody's job right now. I think the Warriors would love if Wiseman was a better player than Kevon Looney or Kuminga was really pushing Draymond Green or Jordan Poole was playing at a level off the bench where you could even consider making some kind of a lineup change with Klay Thompson. Now, I know they've said they're not going to do that specifically, but my point is nobody among the young group is doing anything to where that's even on the table right now. Right. But that leads to the veterans are still the carriers. The veterans still have to play well. And I'll throw this back at you because you noticed this last year, and I've noticed it a couple of times early this year, and it didn't cost him as much last year as it has, I think, in the first couple of games. But the Warriors have always kind of had this – they just kind of know in a game how long they have to play well in order to win the game. And it used to be a quarter. Like if the Warriors had a killer quarter – they would win the game, demoralize the opponent, have enough in the other three quarters to either hang on or win it going away. There have been some times in these first couple of games. I thought the Charlotte game specifically. I thought the game against Miami was another one. I didn't even think there was times in the Denver and Sacramento games where the Warriors were almost certain. Like they knew where the game was at. It was hanging right there. And they were going for that little bit of extra that they, all right, we can go get it right now. And you're kind of reaching back almost like a pitcher trying to get a couple more miles an hour on the fastball to close it out. And they don't have it. And it they're looking for something that just isn't there. And playing well for a quarter now isn't enough. And they can't find it in these key moments where they have a 4-point lead with a minute left and they can't get a stop. Like we're not used to seeing that. They're up 8 with 9 minutes to go and the starters are coming back in the game and they can't hold the lead. You know, Sacramento is coming at them from 20 down and it felt like the Warriors had no control over that. Like it was the Kings missed a couple shots that they could have made, but it felt like the Warriors had no say in the outcome. If the Kings had made a couple shots, they might have stole that game. And so I feel like there is just – there's a lack of control that the veteran players are used to having in these big moments based on their talent and their championship guile and all of that that isn't quite the same. And they're almost like, oh, God. Like in-game, like realizing we can't finish it in the exact same way maybe that we used to be able to finish it.
No, you're right. And you look at offensively, you know, it's if Clay's going to go 1-for-5 or 1-for-6 in the fourth quarter, well, then who's your second best scorer? Well, it's Wiggins. But, you know, if you have Draymond on the floor and Looney on the floor, and I get it, Clay's struggling, but that's like three guys who two of them aren't really shooting, and a guy shooting too much isn't making shots. Like that's the other thing. And this is where, and look, Klay Thompson is a Hall of Famer, one of the greatest shooters ever, streaky. You live with his bad shots because that's how great he is. But I just don't like that. Sometimes I think he's too defiant. And last night was one of those games. Yep. You know, he plays less than Curry, less than Wiggins. They're making shots. He can't make any. Why is he taking 20? They're taking 15. Now, maybe that's what the game dictates. But, you know, Clay can't not be a playmaker, and then like turn it over four times and not shoot well. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
We're used to so much more than that. So how much of that can he get back?
That's a great question. And I'm not sure how much of it he can get back. I think the time for him to just be chucking is over. And I think they're going to, and Steve Kerr had mentioned, and he always goes to, well, Clay's pressing a little bit. Clay's trying to find it. I think at some point they got to bring Clay in and say, look, dude, like you got to be more conscientious about your shot selection. Like you can't, like it just, you got to keep it. You got to take the good shots and not just the shot, because it was clear it's, and I've said this, it's almost, he misses a couple that he thinks he should make, and he feels like he's got to take two more for every miss to like get it back. And it almost hints of somebody, yeah, wanting to help the team, but also kind of wanting to get their numbers a little bit, like wanting to get his shooting. Like if you miss, we all know you miss a shot, you got to make, or you miss a couple of shots. You got to make the next two or three if your percentage is going to be what you want it to be. And it's almost like he's thinking about, how many do I have to make to get my percentage up to 40?
You sit in traffic now, but later there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yeah, I will say this. The shot he had with a minute, I mean, that's a shot. That was like one of his better shots in terms of open looks. Like that one didn't bother me.
Well, it was the one. Was it that one, or was it the one off the rebound? Because I thought the one he took, because he took one from the corner, right? And then Curry got the rebound and then it got kicked back out to him, and then he missed another one, right?
What, how much time was left with that?
This was after the foul got overturned. So
I have Thompson had a good look with 105 left.
Yeah, and it was so, yeah, Vincent.
Straight on. It was a straight on three.
But there was a three from the corner before that.
Yes.
Exactly. Right. And there was, and so I thought they were, you know, they were both pretty good looks. I actually thought the one from the top was a little quick, but again, you're down three. So why not take it?
Yeah, you know, the other thing that I think where they're caught between a rock and a hard place is if, you know, if they continue to struggle, what is their move? Because you're right, they are healthy. What's their move? Clay to the bench is a huge move.
It's not.
You know
happening.
What I mean?
That's
I don't believe so either. He has net. You know, he hasn't come off the bench since his rookie year. But see, JD, that's kind of what I mean about kind of where this team is. Just think about this for a minute. Steph Curry came off the bench to start the playoffs last year.
Sure.
Steph Curry came off the bench, but the Warriors they'd be afraid to even ask Clay to do that for fear that right here up in his head.
Well, it's an admission at that point that you're not going to be the player that you were before, that something needs to change.
That is so delicate. That is such a delicate transition. And that's, you know, okay, so they can't move him to the bench. Fair enough. They ain't taking Curry out. I don't like the idea of Wiggins off the bench. Draymond's going to have to start because I don't.
Yeah. There's no move as far as the lineup goes because there's nobody good enough right now off the bench to take anybody's spot. Like, it's not like Jordan Poole's lighting it up either.
True.
And if, you know, we're talking about the young guys, and I know a focus of that is Wiseman and Kuminga can't get on the floor. And you know, Wiseman looks okay offensively at times, and then defensively he just looks terrible. And when he's in the game, teams are really attacking Wiseman. I mean, every single night he is the weak link, which makes me think of the playoffs and how teams really do that. And the Warriors have done that to other opponents. And it leads me down, and this is something that I think we should talk about on every podcast, because there's almost the two scoreboards. There's the scoreboard of where are the Warriors at in the regular season? How are they trying to develop these guys? How are they playing? And then there's also, are they playoff playable? And right now, Wiseman is not playoff playable. And so to me, it's, you know, Moody is probably borderline. Kuminga clearly is not playoff playable because he's not regular season playable. You're going to play Poole by default, but you need him to play better than he has. I mean, look, the Warriors are not – like, they didn't pay Jordan Poole to be a superstar, but they paid him to be what he was last year, and right now he's struggling to even be what he was last year. Defensively, he's been awful. I mean, it's – on the nights where the starters do have it, it feels like the bench guys come in the game and the leads go bye-bye, and then the starters have to rebuild it. So it's just been a little bit of everything to this point that has added up to them not being able to win enough.
Yeah, and you mentioned opposing teams going at Wiseman. I've noticed they're going at Clay too.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what, JD? You know, I want to get back to Clay because you brought up something earlier about him kind of bringing attention to this. And so here's my thing. So he played last year. I think he missed the first 50, played 32. Then he played in the playoffs. His numbers were exactly the same. I don't know if you noticed that. He played 32 regular season games. He shot 38.5 from three, and he shot like 44 from two. Those numbers stayed exactly the same in the postseason.
Right.
It's just a quirk. But at the end of that series, I was like, you know what? Clay helped them. No doubt about it.
Absolutely.
Clay helped them a couple games. And so now it's the offseason, and I guess he doesn't play, obviously. But even in his first couple games, you're right. I didn't think he was that bad. Like, didn't think he was that bad, but he must have known something wasn't right. And then, you know, Barkley picks up on it a little bit, but – you know, what I'm really getting at here is like, where is he? Like he brought this, like he's now invited teams to attack him because he mentioned he had a mental block. no, duh, I'm not the same player. I like, seriously, I think those are admirable things. But in the NBA, like, Jimmy Butler was going at him.
Yes, he was.
And that's something, like, think about that for a minute. Like, think about that dynamic. Klay Thompson has gone from somebody who you can put on a point guard and not have to worry about him. In fact, you might have an advantage there, to a guy who's being attacked on the defensive end at the shooting guard position or three.
Yeah.
That's just different.
Well, and that gets to, how do you offset it in a playoff series? And I think what you've seen the Warriors try to do in the regular season, as far as your lineups to finish games and lineups to try and help, is they're trying to kick him up a notch by playing Jordan Poole. And all right, he's going to be more of a wing defender. But yeah, Jimmy Butler, you know, biggest play of the game after the two missed shots, you got Jimmy Butler going right at him to put the game away at 114 to 109. And that was one where I just thought, wow, like that was kind of a, he ain't got it kind of moment. Well,
and you know, the bucket before was Butler squaring up against Andrew Wiggins, probably saying, I know you from Minnesota, and I didn't like you there because I didn't think you played hard. So I am going to take you right now. He ends up getting a 3-point play on it to make it 112-109. Like, there was something personal there for sure. But yeah, I just think, again, the other thing, sometimes guys get old fast. Sometimes it happens where you just look at, oh, I averaged 22 that year, and oh my God, they're down to 15 the next. That's big.
Well, it went up. I mean, you always talk about the numbers, and I try not to look at the numbers early in a season, but I happened to do it last night doing the postgame show, and it was, you know, Klay had 19 last night. I didn't realize, because we were only 7 games in, and I guess he had played 6. He's only averaging 12 and a half going into last night's game. Like, his,
I didn't realize that either.
Like, I'm thinking, really? Like, I thought it was more like 16, you know, 17, closer to, I think, 19 and a half is the career average for Klay. And so he hits 19 last night, but there's a difference between, like, they can't have him scoring 12 and a half. Like, maybe they could get away with him scoring 16 and a half, 17, as opposed to 19, but they can't get away with him scoring 12 and a half.
No, they can't.
And inefficiently 12 and a half.
Exactly. And he's not really doing any phase of the game well either. And that's kind of an issue too. Like, obviously he's a shooter, and if he's not shooting well, that's a killer. But he's a hell of a defender that isn't a hell of a defender now.
No.
He's never been a great playmaker, but you don't really ask him to do that. So I don't know, JD. You know, to me, Klay is, if I were a Warrior fan, he's my biggest worry, more so than, will their defense come around?
No question. I mean, I do think the defense will come around. I think a lot of it is championship hangover, and some of it, you know, it has to get to a point where the veterans say, all right, something has to change dramatically and we have to go on a run. And then you see whether they're able to actually do it. I think we've seen it a little bit in games where they've tried to do it with varying levels of success. They've been able to go on runs, but they haven't necessarily been able to finish. But I think among the starters, if you just run through them, you're right. Steph's been an A. Draymond's been fine. Wiggins has been a little up and down. Looney is Looney. And Klay Thompson has been the player that's been the most subpar of the five. When you look at the bench, part of, because I do want to spend a couple minutes on the bench and the young guys, and then I got to ask you about the foul overturn in the Miami game, which I thought was incredible, and the palming violations that are suddenly being called in the league. But as far as the bench, I mean, I think you have to go to the headliner, right? Like, we can talk about Wiseman, Kuminga. I think they may have to do something. I want to bring it back to Poole, but I think the Warriors have enough wing players and veteran players to cobble that together with guys that are just going to have to play, to where, whether it's Wiggins is playing more or Klay's moving up or DiVincenzo's going to be in there and that's going to slide players down. I think they have enough wing players. I think as you start to look at a playoff rotation, they may wind up You know, this is the year where last year I don't think they needed another big. This year I think they may need a 4-5 type player that can, you know, maybe you play him in front of Jamichael Green. Maybe you play him in front of Wiseman if Wiseman's completely unplayable. I think twofold. That kind of stands out. And then Jordan Poole has got to figure out a way to be a little bit more efficient. It's almost as if other teams are putting a little bit of a target on him now as a big money guy to, you know, whether it's more attention defensively or attacking his defensive deficiencies. So, just kind of your thoughts on that.
Look, the Warriors, young players, especially the last year or two when they weren't playing. Look at the Warriors. They got this. They got Curry, Clay, and Draymond, but they got Wiseman, who's going to be this great center, and Kuminga looks like this unbelievable four, and Moody, what a solid three man who can defend, and now we got Poole. Like, but they're on a team of champions, so while everybody's saying, "Oh my God, our young players," Kuminga, my Wiseman, you know, you go into Detroit,
yeah.
And they got some young players. So you realize, wow, well, Kuminga's not as good as Cade Cunningham right now.
No.
And Isaiah Stewart's making Wiseman look terrible. And Sadiq Bey is hard to guard. And you realize those guys have been playing. And there is an athleticism deficiency on the Warriors that they're feeling with the Gary Payton Jr., leaving for Portland, I think.
No, I think you're right. On the
they're not game. Getting they're not getting loose balls and stuff, the long rebounds they used to get to set up the scramble, and that just they've only had a couple of those this year.
You're right. I think there is, that's where the effort level that goes into beating a team like Detroit is different, and that's and those are the kinds of games where even last year, I think especially last year, the Warriors won just about every one of those games for the most part, a extremely high percentage. And it's why they got off to the 18-2 start. It's why they wound up winning 53 games as opposed to maybe 47, 48. That's the one danger. The Warriors can't get to a point where we're talking about, hey, it's January and it's, hey, if they can get to, you know, get a couple games over 500 and, you know, as long as they avoid the play-in tournament, they'll be fine. No, like that's, I'm not, like, we can't play that game. This team's going to have to win enough regular season games to where they're at least top four.
That's what I think, too. I think so, too. I think a lot of Warrior fans would push back on that, which is fair, and say top six will do it. But I think it's like kind of the expecting a wild card team to make it all the way and win the Super Bowl. You know, you're going to have to win on the road every week, essentially. It's unbelievable how after the first, you know, 2-1 or whatever, and they looked like a juggernaut kind of, and now they look like they're a mess.
Right, which means maybe they look like a juggernaut again next week. Real quick, I know stunned that foul got overturned.
Oh, me too.
I mean, I didn't think Jimmy Butler got the ball. Did you think on replay Butler got the ball?
I saw a replay where he got the ball first and then he hits the hand, but that's always called.
Well, and it was in this instance.
Even after the release. So if you're telling me if you get ball first, then you can come down with hand and wrist, okay? And now you're not calling that. And at the same time, you're going to clamp down on palming. What is your trouble? I mean, I'm kidding in a way, but not really. I mean, one of the reasons the Warriors shoot the hell out of it is because it's hard to defend out there. And players are conscious of fouling a three-point shooter. You're telling me they can contest a little more and it's kind of a league-wide thing that they're going to allow? That changes things a little bit.
Apparently, if you get the ball, I mean, that was the explanation. If you get the ball, you can have the high five contact, and that's allowable. So we'll see.
Incredible.
And Jordan Poole, by the way, I dug this up at the end of last year, and I couldn't remember where I found it. Jordan Poole led the league in palming violations last season.
Nice.
But he had six, I think, right, for the whole year. And he's got, I think, four or five already this year, three in the game last night. Apparently there was a memo that went out.
Right.
I mean,
he didn't get his email.
Hey, Steve, you got to check your email, Steve. Come on, man.
But it's not like they just sent it to Steve. Now, I'm sure they sent every assistant coach and every front office guy. So somebody's got to have Steve's back. The third carry was a carry in any league.
No doubt.
That's all I'll say.
And he stops. Like, he literally stops the ball and changes direction, which is different. All right, Steiny.
Yeah.
We'll talk to you next week. For Steiny, I'm JD, Warriors Weekly.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.